The Spirit of God is the treasure inside every believer. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest, Kelly Copeland, as they discuss how to unlock the treasure within, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly is with us today, Ms. Kelly Copeland, and we are going to have some good word on...
We've been talking this week about unlocking the treasure within. And today is the day we're sticking the key in the door.
We're going to take it. We're going to open it up today.
We've been getting to the door.
Okay. That'll be good.
And then next week we'll talk about what's on the other side of the door. Really.
Oh, that's all right.
So we've talked about the devices, the satanic devices to keep us away from knowing what's on the inside of us. Pride, shame. You know, thinking that you don't have, right off the top of the bat, yep. No matter how spiritual you are, how long you've been in the Word, thinking, oh, I don't have any problem with that.
If you don't recognize it, you won't do anything about it.
No, and I think He's used this on everybody. I'm not sure I know anybody that He hasn't used this device on. This is one of His big key devices. We even see pride and shame in the Garden of Eden, and He's been working it ever since. And it's the most effective on people who think they don't have it. So ask me how I know. So because these things are not like big and obvious. Satan really prefers the small and hiding things that can, I said the other day, it's like a ticking time bomb that he can deposit. Shame is like a ticking time bomb deposited in somebody. Maybe when you were a little kid or a teenager or a college student or whatever, that's deposited ready to explode your life. And sometimes people feel like, well, it feels like I just keep going around the same circle and the same circle. We need to look at some of these things to see what is inside you that's driving you, or a weak place or a broken place on the inside of your soul that you need to give God some access to. So
you need to find the Word and the Scripture that covers that and receive your deliverance.
And we have a Savior for everything. He didn't leave one thing out. We have a Savior and we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We have a gracious Father who will forgive, a Savior who paid the price and did everything so that we could be free, and Holy Spirit who will lead you. Don't just let that lead you to repentance mean get born again one day. He will lead you every day to what you need to see, where you need to repent. You know, the word repent, it also means just turn away from something that is not of God. Turn around. He'll lead you to places where you need to do a U-turn. You need to turn around. So He's a great leader, and we've got a great Savior, and we've got a great Father. The Word says He's given us everything that we need to lead a godly life.
He sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into just a few little things. No, the Word says into all truth the Holy Ghost leads you into. You can't know truth and be bound up.
That's the truth.
Unless you choose to be bound up.
And there is not anything that you're facing today that He didn't give us everything and more that we need to not just overcome, but to be whole, to have a whole life and a whole family and a whole...
Nothing missing.
Your children whole and your... ministry or your business whole, just
that's
to have joy in your life.
Shalom, which is peace, that's what it means. Nothing broken, nothing missing. All things are there for your good and your blessing. Hallelujah.
But Satan would love for when things happen to bring shame on you.
Yeah.
Because when he can do that, he lessens your impact. And you know, so many times people are judgmental. People do judge. If something goes wrong in your life, they think, well, see, they're just like me. They're not any better. They talk about Jesus, but they're not any better than me. But see, they're missing the point, and it's important that you not miss the point. Because the point is, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 4, we don't preach ourselves. Something happens in my life. I mean, I've had plenty of things that people could point out in my life and go, see, But it's not about me. It's about Jesus. You know, I think sometimes it's tempting for preachers to make sure everybody knows I wasn't the one that was really at fault here. But that's not even the gospel. You're not going to hear me preaching anything like that because that's not the gospel. There are things I'm at fault for. Well, Jesus needs access to those. There's things you're at fault for. Jesus needs access to those. And no matter if it's huge or small,
we repent.
In your life or mine, giving Him access to them will set you free regardless of how big or small it is. We need to get rid of stuff that we need to get rid of. And He's so faithful. And He wipes. He's our Savior. He's not a one-time Savior. He's not a get-you-born-again so you can go to heaven one day Savior.
That's right.
I mean, yes.
He's there every day.
He's there for that. But it's not until you know Him as your Savior every day. I mean, I expect Him to save me every day. And I don't mean save me again so I go to heaven, but I mean clean
Protection,
me out. Watch over me. Dig stuff out of me. Because that's a treasure. He is on the inside of us. When God breathed into Adam, He really, in essence, breathed His own spirit into a clay pot. We looked in Genesis 2 yesterday. This, my reference says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Look, we're not like fragile clay jars. We are fragile clay jars. So when stuff happens, it shouldn't throw us for a loop because we're not without the special treasure. In Genesis, it said, God, springs came up from the earth and watered the earth, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Water, dirt equals mud or clay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. So it brings shame to us. Satan can trick us with shame when we allow this, you know, whatever happens, whether it's in relationships or whether it's something in our body or whether it's something with our finances, anything that's outer at all. We allow things that happen. When we allow things that happen to speak to us and tell us that we're not faith people because something happened, if you judge somebody else who goes through something, or maybe your pastor, maybe he had to deal with some sickness or something and got attacked in his body, or maybe even the pastor's wife died or something like that. Don't judge. Just because things happen, that does not mean we're not faith people. We have a treasure on the inside. That's what we have to look at. And I think it's real easy, Mom, to take shame when stuff happens, to take it from the enemy.
There
and
is
even
no
if,
condemnation.
Even if you miss it where faith is concerned, there's no condemnation
to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, and not the flesh.
Because that's what He's saying here. Walk after the Spirit, not the flesh.
That's right.
So when He says some things
where you stay free.
One day, Mom, I'm reading this. He says, we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And makes clear what treasure it is. It's when the God that said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus. So what is that saying? The treasure is that we could become intimate, have intimate knowledge of the very glory and the Spirit of God. The glory that's seen in the face of Jesus is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that was breathed in Genesis 2, that was breathed into Adam and Eve. This body, this clay body, contains God. That's the simplest way to say it. We contain God Himself, the Spirit of God.
You shall know the truth, and the truth
makes you free.
Shall make you free.
And it's where the Spirit of the Lord is.
That's why
that there is truth and freedom.
Avid students of the Word of God. And when we find things in the Word, we let it change us. I'm talking about you and me. We let it change us, and then we are free. We begin to be free. It keeps us free. Doing what the Word says keeps us free. Glory. I like to be free.
I do too. But there's no shame, Mom, in needing
Jesus bore
to
the
get
shame.
Free. There's no shame when you have a problem.
No, but it's a shame to stay.
It's a shame to keep
bound
it.
Bound up.
Because, you know, it's like you go, imagine saying this. Imagine looking at Jesus and going, shame on you, Jesus, and that being accurate because Jesus took our shame. You could actually say that. Shame on you, Jesus. Here, my shame, you have it. Shame on you because he took it.
And he was the righteousness of God, so it didn't take him.
So there's no reason for us to feel shame when trouble comes. Now, this scripture in verse 8, I never had memorized it. I'm working on it now.
What? Where
but
are you?
But it always sounded like a bad confession to me.
Which one? What is the book you're in?
I'm in 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven by despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed.
Thank you, Lord.
I had to judge myself over what kept me from thinking that was a victory scripture. What kept me from thinking it was thinking that I shouldn't be pressed or I shouldn't be knocked down, that somehow that's not faith to acknowledge that that's happened. And what the Lord had to show me was that's opening up the door to shame if I can't read that and understand that it's not me that has to withstand pressure. It's not me that has to withstand perplexity. It's not me that has to withstand being hunted down or being knocked down. It's the special treasure on the inside of me that allows me to withstand those things. Those things are natural things. They happen. Stuff happens. You know, maybe if you could be perfected in the Word and perfected in His presence and you were on a deserted island somewhere and you had nobody else living on the island with you, maybe you could perfect your life to the point that stuff didn't happen.
Well,
maybe. But there's still a devil.
You take the Word of God and you feed it into your eyes and your ears. You get it down in your heart where it talks to you and you do what it says, you can come out. I mean,
that's just
the way it is.
And as you practice these things and you walk in these things, yes, you get to where stuff happens less. And you get to where
sure.
You notice stuff that happens less.
You know why
less.
It happens less? Because you don't do the stuff you shouldn't
you
be doing.
Do.
And you don't open the door to
Mother,
the devil.
Mother, you nailed it. That is the truth. That's one we need to write down. It's the truth. But we don't know everything. You know why I still do dumb stuff? It's because I don't know everything yet. And as I learn stuff, I don't do dumb stuff anymore. I mean,
no,
I do
that's what you're supposed
less.
To do. You're supposed to grow up.
You're supposed to grow up. You can't grow up, according to Hebrews 12. We're not going to grow up
and we only do that by the Word of God.
But can you see how shame keeps people from growing in the things mm-hmm. of God? And being ashamed that you have trouble. I mean, I can feel some of you looking at me like, that. I would never feel shame that I have trouble. Really? So the last time you had trouble, did you acknowledge it? Did you, I think people get so confused about what's confessing trouble and what's just acknowledging.
There's different degrees of faith and there's different degrees of problems. You know, I mean, if trouble comes your way, if you're a word person, you know right where to go in the scripture to get the answer. You ask the Lord for it according to this word that gives you, He bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, or by His stripes you were healed. That's my healing scripture. So I go to that. I know right where it is. I go to it. I take it. I say it even when I'm well, glory to God. Now, that's the way we ought to live.
Well, and
if you don't know what the word says, you're in trouble.
But we have the Word.
It's the truth that makes you free.
And we have His Spirit, and He'll lead you as you live these things.
That's
He'll
right.
lead you to the right Word. But what I think what's important that where Satan is trying to harm people with shame is I think people are confused between what is confessing problems like bad confession And what is just acknowledging something? It's not a bad confession to say, this has happened. This, whatever has attacked my body or whatever has attacked my family. It's not a bad confession to acknowledge that something happened. But if you keep saying, I'm so sick, I'm this, then you're hanging on to it. Mm-hmm. But you do have to acknowledge something and then give it to the Lord. You have to acknowledge something and then apply the word to it. You have to acknowledge that something's there. You can't just like turn a blind eye. Turning a blind eye to something is not walking by faith.
You can't ignore that.
Right. And sometimes people think, well, if I just tell my hand, you're not hurting, you're not hurting, you're not hurting, or if I just ignore it.
You got to have supernatural.
We have a Savior,
involved.
But we have to go to our Savior.
That's right.
And it's not our own selves that are able to deliver ourselves. We have a treasure. So I was thinking, when I started seeing some of these things and how Satan was tricking, because a lot of the time, like if you're having trouble in your marriage or trouble in your family, trouble with your children, it's very easy to just kind of want to gloss over that. You don't want to let anybody know about it. And you don't even want to really acknowledge something's going on. You just think, well, I'm just going to stand in faith. But you're not acknowledging that there's something there. Feel like a failure that you're having trouble, is what I'm trying to say. I thought, well, if there was a scripture in the Bible that said this.
Now, let me say this. If you're having trouble, you're having trouble with this basis. There is a spirit named Satan who has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, we have to deal with him to get that out of our lives, whatever it is. If he's stealing, whatever it is. What do we do with him? We cast him out in the name of Jesus from whatever situation it is. If it's sickness, we use the name of Jesus. We command our bodies to be healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. But now you got to have faith with it, you know. You can't just... You have to meditate on the Word, and you have to get the Word in you till you believe it. And that's what comes out your mouth when you're under pressure instead of junk.
That's true.
Like, what are we going to do? How are we ever going to do this or that or the other?
And thinking that you...
Faith comes by hearing.
Get in the Word. Get direction from the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen to what He says for you to do. You know, I want to encourage you too. When trouble comes, especially relationally, kids, family, get help. Go talk, get counsel. There's wisdom in godly ministry counsel that can point to you the Word, tell you you're going to be okay. You're not alone. God will lead you to the right people when you need help in a relationship. But don't wait till everything just completely is totally falling apart at the seams and to acknowledge that, you know, we need to do something about this.
You know when you need to acknowledge that?
The very
first.
Every
day.
Yeah.
You put that word in your eyes and your ears. And then when trouble comes, you've got the faith and you know what to do with
it. That's right.
Glory to God.
But shame, again, shame and pride can keep you from accessing what's on the inside of this. So I was thinking, this is how the Lord began to diagnose me, that I had some shame over stuff that I shouldn't have been ashamed of. Because I thought, well, if I read a scripture that says, you're not crushed, you're not driven to despair, you are never abandoned by God, you are not destroyed, I would memorize that one all day long. But what was happening was I was given so much when I would read the scripture, I couldn't receive the positive because I was given so much weight to the negative. I thought, well, I shouldn't be pressed. I shouldn't be perplexed. But, you know, actually, I think back on my life. If you're never perplexed, then how do you ever grow in the things of God? If you're never perplexed, you're not going to press to know more. If you don't ever come to the place where
you don't have to stay perplexed.
Well, no, because it says that we're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair because we have His Word. We have a special treasure on the inside of us. So when you feel perplexed, it's okay if you think, I don't know what to do. If you will access who's on the inside of you, then you won't be driven to despair. The despair comes from feeling like I don't know what to do and I'm perplexed. I don't have an answer.
The answers are here. And you got to spend time with that word in your eyes, in your ears. Gets in your heart. Now, when it overflows down there in the heart, you have a need. It'll come up right there at the moment. But it takes, you know, it takes some time to get it in there.
And it takes, even if you have zero word in your heart right now, you just got born again. Maybe yesterday or day before, you just got born again. Will you still have a special treasure on the inside of you? And I'm telling you today that when you feel like you don't know what to do and you have perplexity, right here in this book are your answers. He will lead you as young in Him as you are. He can lead you if you'll let Him. He'll lead you to the right answers. What I love about it too is I looked back on my life as He was showing me these things, Mom, and I realized, you know, it was the times when I was perplexed and didn't know what to do, and I accessed His Word and accessed that Him on the inside of me that I grew the most. Because I learned something that I didn't know, because I hit a place in my life that I couldn't fix it. I didn't even have the right word on it, maybe, but He led me to it. Or when,
can I interrupt you right there?
Yes, ma'am.
You didn't know, but He led you to it. That's why everybody needs a good church with the people in it that teach you the Word of God. You need to be in a position to know what to do. And that's what the church is for. That's what teachers are for, to lead you into the truth of God's Word. And you go after it, and you read it yourself, and you stay there, and you take it.
Man.
And let that learn. Go in a good church. Don't go to a church that's just a symbol. Well, let's go to this church, because we can get out early. We can beat the crowd at lunch, and let's just go to that church. No, go to the church that feeds you the Word of God, and you'll stay free if you act on it. Kelly and I'll be right back.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free study notes are just another way for us to minister God's Word to you. Go to kcm.org/notes to download this week's set. It's like having your own set of their notes. These study notes include key teaching points, scriptures, and prayers. Use them while watching the broadcast, during your own personal devotions, or even in group Bible studies. We desire to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and we believe this ministry tool will help. Go to kcm.org/notes today.
For 50 years, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has been here to teach Christians around the world who they are in Christ and how to live a victorious life. We assist believers in becoming rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God, teaching them to give God's Word first place in their lives. According to Hebrews 5, we take them from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, from religion to reality, building an army of mature believers who are skillful in the word of righteousness and who stand firm against the kingdom of darkness. We are called to reveal the victorious revelations of God's Word that have been hidden from the ages. Thank you, partners. Join us as we celebrate 50 years of preaching the uncompromised Word of God from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
Rejoice and shout out loud. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. For God is good. And His mercy endures forever. God is good.
May 26th through 27th, Kenneth Copeland invites you to the Peru Victory Campaign at Eduardo Dibos Coliseum in Lima, Peru. June 15th through 17th, join the Copelands at the Dayton Victory Campaign at the Dayton Convention Center in Dayton, Ohio. June 29th through July 1st, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the Toronto Victory Campaign at Atwell Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. July 31st through August 5th, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests for the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Today is offering day. Let's take some scriptures on our sowing. This is 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So we get to decide how we reap. And this is the way you decide. He which soweth bountifully or abundantly shall also reap bountifully. So you and I determine whether our harvest is abundant or whether it's scarce by what we do with the money that we have. Or maybe you don't have any money. Maybe you could just go sell your time to somebody and help somebody that needs help. But if you don't do this when you get in trouble, if you do just when you get in trouble, if you do this all the time and you believe God and you sow whatever you have. Now, the Lord doesn't tell you to sow $50,000 if you only have $100. The tithe is 10%. So you'd sow $10 of that money into the work of God, into the work of the kingdom. If you had a dollar, you'd sow a dime. If you didn't have any more than that, that's still a big harvest. It's in proportion to what you have. Somebody can be a millionaire and sow $20,000, and they're just tipping God because they got lots of money. So it's in accordance with what you have. It's listening to the Lord in your church and offerings wherever you are. What to do. The Lord knows what to do. He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. I happen to be married to a man that sows bountifully, and I get to get in on his harvest a lot. He's a blessed man. Every man according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. Now I want to take the rest of this time and pray over your offering. Father, I pray over everybody's offering today. I ask you, Lord, to look at that offering and to bless them abundantly, abundantly, over and above what they could ask or think. We receive the over and above blessing on our offering today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Sow abundantly, reap abundantly. Glory to God. Thank you, partners, for staying with us and helping us to do what we do. We're so grateful to you. And we believe with you for an abundant harvest in the name of Jesus. Go to church this weekend. Find you a good church that preaches the Word. Spend time in fellowship with God. And we'll see you again next week. This is Gloria and Kelly reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.